to the third. I got my better half with me this time.
Hey, Jewel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Jewel?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Good, good. It's finally nice to finally get to talk to you guys because I was like, I need somebody to get me in contact with this family right here because I've been watching y'all's premieres, you know, like the commercials, you know, the trailers setting up to you guys' premiere November 10th on Bravo. I was like, can somebody please get the Tankers on the phone for me? Please. So
we're excited. We are so excited. I mean, I believe I have the world's most exciting family, and I'm just honored that I get the opportunity through a big network to show the rest of the world what I'm blessed to experience 24/7.
So you guys, premiere is Sunday, this Sunday, November 10th. Tell us how you got started with Bravo.
Well, you know, Ben has been out in the industry, in the music industry, for a long time now. And so, you know, he had lots of footage out there, lots of videos, his concerts. He's super funny and very engaging with the people. And so I think kind of through his name kind of floating out there in the industry over the years, and we did have quite a bit of footage on YouTube with our family. So I think that between those things, one dot just kind of connected to the next, and our daughter Brooklyn is also very heavily involved in media, and I think it just kind of all came together like that. So here we are with Bravo, and I can honestly say it's actually been a really good experience with working with them.
So how did this come about? Like, you know, your show, you said it was on like a YouTube. Being, when I was watching the trailer, you talked about, you know, once being broke. Now, why is, I guess, being rich better?
Yeah, well, what's been a big element of my story in my concerts is being raised poor, and destitute, and being on welfare and powdered eggs and a whiff of peanut butter and that sort of thing. And I thought my way out of the ghetto would be pro basketball. And I went to the minor league pro ball and I had an opportunity to go to the Portland Trailblazers camp, but I got injured and was never able to continue. And so my whole testimony is after that went south, I went to church, God saved me, and in the same service, I began to play piano. I was prayed for by the evangelist, and I put my hands on the keys, and the first time I ever played, I played like I play on my CD. And so my concerts, which is over 100 a year, the hosts and the sponsors, they always insist that I tell that story in my concerts. And the NBA found out about it, and they actually hired me to come and tell the story to the NBA players. And my songs are published through Universal NBC. Universal NBC is also owned by, also owns Bravo. So, you know, my name was just kind of floating around in the NBA community, and they knew about this kind of rags to riches story. Here I am with a blended family. I'm me and Jewel married. We both had kids when we got married, so we have a blended family of adult kids now. They grew up. And they're all grown now between 19 and 29. Five kids, two daughter-in-laws, one grandchild. All of us in this big mansion in Tennessee trying to figure out how to get along with each other and have a happy life. And they just figured it was enough elements to make an interesting series, as well as me being an African-American that is a pilot that flies his own airplane. That's not every day. And so they thought they had enough elements to really bring something to the people that was positive and show people how to have a blended family and have a great life, you know, and not apologize for the blessings of God. One of the things that I really like about being successful is that we get to help other people. We've given away 18 cars. We volunteer as pastors at our church. We don't take a salary for that. We live off of our music and our businesses, and we're able to donate our time to the church for free as pastors. And so Bravo thought that was interesting enough to profile.
Now, Jewel, I want to ask you, as co-pastor and finance, I guess, advisor, how are the finances? Because you guys are, you know, living it up and things like that. Now, I don't know what we're going to see in the show, you know, as far as like the finance thing, but how are finances within the family? You know, could money be an issue with some of the kids and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty important because, you know, as a race of people as a whole, we were, you know, because of slavery and coming out of slavery, we've just been stuck on struggle mode for so many years and for so many generations. And most African Americans, if they're going to ever become wealthy, independently, you know, wealthy or rich or whatever you want to call it, it's going to be because they did it through hard work. I mean, I don't know about nobody else, but I didn't have no great uncle or great granddaddy or daddy or nothing else to leave me some big inheritance. So everything that we've done has been because, A, because of the grace of God, and two, a lot of diligence and hard work. And so we really try to teach our children that when Ben and I first got married, there was some debt there that we had to clear up. And so we got an agreement that his strength was producing, my strength was managing. I was an econ major at U of M. I'm a fourth-generation entrepreneur. So finances and management of finances always really appealed to me just because of some things that I went through personally. And I said, I never want to be in a position where I don't have food or don't have, you know, basic necessities of life. And so you really see us teaching our children how to work hard, how to be diligent, how to manage their money and to, you know, not just spend it because you have it. You know, I've got a G-Wagon, but it's an 03. You know what I mean? We paid it off. So we make some very, very sound financial decisions and believe that we're supposed to get the best for less. So you'll definitely see a lot of those life principles. I'm not one of the people that spend $1,000 on a dress. You know what I mean? And so I believe that we have to be good stewards to what God has given us. So you'll definitely see that in us raising the children.
I wanted to talk about the blended family. So I guess you guys, if you want to take turns, could you tell us each person in the family and kind of who, what personality we're going to see within the story of the family?
Okay. It's me and Jewel, and the oldest son actually does not live with us. He lives in Missouri. He's a pastor. He's 29 years old. That's Marcus. He has a wife named Letitia. Then we have Brooklyn, who's 25. She lived with us. She has a daughter that's 10, Diamond. And then we have Benji and Shanara, my other son and his wife. And we also have Brittany. And then the youngest is Cyrene. And she's just turned 18. So it was five children, two daughter-in-laws, one grandchild, and oftentimes all under one roof. A lot of fun, a lot of life lessons. Brittany is the Lucille Ball of the family. Benji is the DJ of the family. He's the hip-hopper. Cyrene would be considered the privileged one. She's the one that's been with us the whole time. She was three when me and Jewel got married, so she actually grew up under our authority. My kids grew up in their mother's house. And so that's a big dynamic in this series because that was a different set of rules. She ran a really loose ship. So once they got 18 and said, hey, Dad, we want to come live with you until we get our businesses off the ground or get out of college. Different set of rules here. We have curfews. We say, excuse me. We take a bath every day. We brush our teeth. And it's like, I got to take a bath today. I took one yesterday. So We're all trying to figure it out as we go, and it's on-the-job training. And I call them grown juveniles.
Right, right. Jewel, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, if you're going to blend a family together, you first have to almost have an understanding of the backgrounds of how they were raised, what the structure was, or maybe no structure at all. You really got to, you know, really, really dig deep and understand those, because a lot of times the issue comes in that is because one person is trying to get the other people to conform to their way of thinking. And so that's not always easy to do depending on how they grew up. Their formative years really, really lays out the rest of a child's life. And so whatever those formative years were like, if you're trying to change those, it's going to take time. It's a process. And so it takes a lot of patience. And then it takes patience from the person trying to receive, you know. So it was just as much as the children had to change, I had to change coming in and trying to blend this thing together the way I felt like God originally ordained for it to be. And so at the end of the day, we love each other. But, you know, there's times when you get on each other's nerves, but you get back up, you work it out and say, okay, God, show me how to do this today, or show me what changes do I need to make to get the desired result.
Right. And I guess I wanted to ask both you guys my last question. What does Thicker Than Water mean to you guys, and why did you guys come up with that title?
Thicker Than Water is a play on the term that is kind of floating around. Our dad floated around as a kind of old proverb for many years. Blood is thicker than water. And it just indicates that the family tie should last beyond anything. You have your challenges, but at the end of the day, You know, we like to say it like this: the blood of Jesus is thicker than the water of any of our foolishness. And the things that I like to try to instill in my kids is that they have giftings inside them, and it's my job as their dad to try to pull on those giftings and pull those giftings out of them. You know, I had the pleasure to have start my career producing, working with the dynamic Yolanda Adams, and I'm just so honored that she could have went with anybody, but she chose me to produce some of her earlier works. She pulled stuff out of me. I'm supposed to be the producer. I'm supposed to be the quarterback in the studio here, but she pulled stuff out of me that I didn't even know I had in me. And so encounters with other people oftentimes brings you up and out, you know, and I've had to do many things to have a successful lifestyle. A lot of people don't like instrumental music, so I haven't lived just off of instrumental music. I am a motivational speaker for the NBA. I'm a suit designer for Big and Tall. I'm a pilot, and I have airplanes that can be rented out. And so I've got about 8 or 9 different titles. But when you got 8 jobs, you should be able to have a big house that every family member can have a room in. And you've got 5 kids that are all driving. You should be able to have, you know, 5 cars, and because they all got different schedules, you know. So that's 5 kids, 5 cars. Me and Jewel got a car. That's your 7 cars right there. I don't think that's overdoing it. I think that's just normal. You know, that's just necessities. And so I would hope that when people watch this program, understand, just give it an opportunity to be itself. Don't stereotype us. We're not a housewife show. We're not Duck Dynasty. We're not a preacher's show. And by all means, don't allow our charity work, don't use our charity work against us. You know, we charitably give our time to our local church, Destiny Center, where we are volunteer senior pastors. We give our time to them and we give our money to them. We're not paid as pastors. So don't put me in that hole and say, because I'm a pastor, I can't have a big house. Because this house came, and the millionaire status came before I started the church. So don't use my charity work against me. See that we are pastors because we're blessed. We're not blessed because we're pastors.
And Joel, did you want to add also, what does thicker than water mean to you?
You know, I think that it means that we have to begin to fight for the family again. Of course, obviously, being a blended family, everybody's not blood. But you don't have to be in order to be close. And so I think that, you know, if you have a family unit, I'm hoping that when people see the show, it'll make them say, you know what, I need to go fight for my relationship again with my brother or my sister or my cousin, or I need to reach out to this person more. You know, as I'm talking to him, I'm thinking about my brother. He called me. I got to call him back. You know, I'm hoping that people will see the show and say, wait a minute, have I talked to my family member? Or what were we mad about? What was I mad about? I don't even remember what I was mad about. Or maybe it wasn't something I was mad about. Maybe it was something mom and them was mad about, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And that's some foolishness. And this is a significant relationship. And I need to try to fight for it. So I'm really hoping that people will see it and begin to fight for the family again and not be so quick to be like, they get on my nerves. I ain't dealing with them. Forget it then. And then you end up having generations that miss out on a phenomenal relationship they could have had with their family because of some foolishness, you know, something like that. So that's what it means to me.
And if one last thing I want to say, Star, is if you are starting, even Jesus was in a blended family. And there's more blended families than there are mom and dad and 2 dogs and the girl and the boy and the picket fence. Leave it to Beaver opportunities. You know, there's more blended families than there are that old American black and white movie dream. And so I would say that for those who are getting started and, you know, you're marrying each other and both of you have kids, don't come in with any preconceived notions. Start fresh with a fresh sheet of paper, and there should be no steps. Me and Jewel, we didn't do any steps. We didn't believe and said, that's my stepbrother, my half-brother, my step-daddy, you know, because we didn't want to have that whole drama of, you ain't none of my daddy, you ain't none of my mama, you can't tell me what to do. We didn't want to have that. So a fresh sheet of paper, sit down, communicate, and then get God involved. Let God be the center of your relationship and be patient. Everything does not have to be cured today.
Right, right. Well, you couldn't have put that in a better statement, summary, whatever you want to call it. And I greatly appreciate you guys' time. And I'm so excited about this premiere. I cannot wait. I've been like, it's on my calendar. It's funny because Bravo on my TV is DVR. I'm serious. So you guys out there, get ready for the Tankards. Thicker Than Water, premiering this Sunday, November 10th on Bravo.